It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Folks, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and we're coming to you this week from Elk Camp up in northern Colorado, not too far from the Wyoming border. We'll be up here actually for 2 weeks, and we're going to give you little snippets of what's going on up here. One of the first ones is our first evening meal up here. We've got some really good, used a can cooker to fix our quick and easy meal. So stick with me here, and we're going to try to walk you through some different adventures and things that's going on this week. And if they do not all flow perfectly, that's because I'm actually recording day to day. But I want you to know what it's like to be up here hunting elk and bear up in the Rocky Mountains up in northern Colorado. Well, folks, our first meal at camp, elk camp up here, is going to be pretty tasty. I got our camp manager, and we could just call him a camp cook, but really he does way more than that. Our camp manager, Billy Kilpatrick. Billy, we're going to have some of these wild pork steak bacon wraps, right?
That's right, yeah. This is what you call fresh. Pig was just killed last week. Went from the pen to the grill tonight.
That's right. I shot about a 70-pound hog last week, folks, and had it processed. Gorman's Meats there in Terrell, my old buddy Ashley Gorman, he said, why don't we tenderize these round steaks? And he run it through the meat tenderizer, and that is some of the prettiest meat. We haven't cooked it yet on the grill, but kind of tell them how we did it. We dusted it, started with garlic salt, you know.
Yeah, all you got to do is take your piece of meat, put a little garlic salt in it, slice you some green onions up, some little small pieces of cheese, put them in the middle of it and roll your pork up, and then put you a couple pieces of bacon around it and stick it with a toothpick and get your fire, you know, on your grill about medium heat and put them on there and rotate them about every 15 minutes, and I promise you, you'll finger-licking good.
Finger-licking good, and if you like a little spice, you can put a little sliver of jalapeno in there with it, right?
Right. Jalapeno goes good with everything.
Exactly right, and then use your toothpicks to pin all that together. And then what else are we going to have with that? We're going to have a salad and something else.
Salad, we're going to have fresh boiled potatoes right out of the garden and some butter or cream, maybe some cream cheese. It's going to be, like I said, finger-licking good.
Boy, I'm ready to go right now. We're going to fire a grill up in about 2 hours, hour and a half?
Yeah, we'll, if we can, we'll try to send some of this good smell over the satellite sound here to y'all.
Over the airwaves. Okay. Man, I tell you what, Mark, that stuff was some tasty eating. That was our first actually evening meal at camp this year at our elk camp. Mr. Large here, look like he's enjoyed it. Tex, Billy, boy, that was good.
Beautiful, man.
Mark, that was like a can cooker recipe that we did, you know. Pretty darn tasty. Some of your sausage that you made at home, right?
Yes, that's a white-tailed deer and wild pig and some of Ray Wiesner's Italian seasoning.
Yeah, you can't beat it, man. You put it in a can cooker in about 45 minutes. Put your corn on the cob on the bottom, right?
Uh-huh. Yes, corn on the cob on the bottom and your seasoning and your liquid and start cooking.
You got it. And that's the zesty Italian, is that right?
Yes, Italian seasoning in the bottom, yes.
Yeah, with I'm looking at our pan after eating a bunch of it, but carrots. And you can put carrots in it if you want to, but potatoes and corn and onions mostly. And if you want to add carrots or something else, you could, I guess, you know. Man, it's good. What do you think, Billy? Did you enjoy it?
Man, that was good. It looked like leftovers. It looked like five vultures just devoured that food over there.
Texas, you still got some left. Was it good?
Oh, it was delicious.
All right. Larry, early on here, what the sign is showing is water.
Yeah, these 80, 90 degree days, these elk are going to have to come to water. So we're going to concentrate pretty heavy on water holes for the first day or two and let the elk tell us where they want to be and what they want us to do.
Exactly. Well, the sign that we found around two different places, and both of them were water. One was a place we call Aspen Ponds, and the other the Dead Sea. And those two, very active right now. So that's a good place to start. Start there, and like you say, let them tell us how to wrap things up, right?
Yes, sir. They only have to show their face, you know, somewhere within 50 yards. I got all the confidence in the world in my hunter that if one does make that mistake, it may be his fatal mistake.
Keeping it pretty quiet. I've actually got a hunter sitting about 150 yards from me watching over a water hole in a place we call Aspen Ponds. Had a couple of mule deer come up, a doe, and two yearlings. The yearlings still have spots on them, but I'm glassing the high country up here now, and I'm seeing some three or four elk weaving in and out of the black timber coming down this way. So we're hoping for a good hunt. Things are looking good. Well, it's Luke, and I'm around the campfire. I kind of got off to myself a little bit where I could visit with you and give everybody an update on our hunt up here in the mountains. It's been awesome. The first day, one of our first-time hunters, Dean Stovall, who's actually a fishing guide, he runs a hunting operation down around Lake Whitney. But Dean was lucky and good, too. But he got a nice, good bull elk, a mature elk, the first day of the season up here in Colorado with his bow. So, you know, if you've never retrieved an elk out of the mountains, it's really, you know, it's an experience that that you may not forget soon. But this elk made a good shot on it with his bow, and it went probably, I'm going to estimate, 100 yards. But it went up in some black timber, some spruce, and there was a lot of, if you've ever been up in that kind of country, you know that there's a lot of down timber, dead timber that blow down and things like that. Well, we got to where we could get within, we could get our electric vehicles within about, I'm going to say probably 80 yards of the elk. And you know, what you have to do is go ahead and field dress the animal in a situation like that. Field dress it, which reduces a lot of the weight. And then actually we quarter it up and pack it up. We had to actually haul about, 700 pounds of elk. I'm going to estimate maybe 600 of the quarters and the meat and everything. About 80 yards uphill through that timber. And it's a rodeo because most elk are killed during the last 30 minutes of daylight, it seems. And the field dressing and the quartering and the packing of the meat seems to always take place after dark. But, you know, they had that big bright moon this past week, and that helped us get around in the mountains. And we actually cut a little trail back in there where we could drive our electric vehicles back to the takeout point. So anyway, the first day of the elk season up here was very successful, and we managed to get one good elk. We've had some rain up here in the mountains the last couple of days, and I think rain is forecast to 70% in the morning. But the way you have to handle that, Larry Large and myself and Mark, one of our top guides and all, we get together, and if we think it's safe to go up, well, we go up in the mountains and hunt. If it's not, we'll wait till the storm stops. So we're going to watch that real close and see what we're going to get into tomorrow. Yesterday, I updated you a little bit on the bull elk that was taken the first day of our hunt. And I told you about the rain. Well, sure enough, it did rain, and we didn't make it get out in the morning, but the afternoon hunt, there's some elk that's a herd of elk. And this time of year, there'll be a one herd bull, a male, that starts rounding up the cow elk. It's just the onset of the rut, and the elk are just beginning to bugle up here now. And when they start bugling, it's a great benefit for an elk hunter, because you can bugle, they'll answer you back, and they'll close on you sometime. The trick is to get a hunter up in front of you somewhere, watch that wind, and try to be downwind of the where you hear the elk, the direction that you hear the elk coming from, and bugle, and you can make a cow call that'll attract a bull on in there. But we've had them bugling here actually since yesterday they first started. There's an area up, probably some of the highest elevation out here on Sleeping Giant Mountain where we hunt. There's an area called Whiskey Lake. It's way up high, and honestly, we don't hunt it until the last two or three days of the hunt, because it's kind of an area the elk hang out up there, and then they come down in the evenings to water, and then they'll spread out and hit these alfalfa fields at night and feed, and they go back up. Well, we've got a trail that we've been watching with glassing from camp, actually, and those elk are coming down probably an hour before dark is when they start coming out of the Whiskey Lake, the high country, and by dark they're down in the valley. But we've got a spot about halfway down the junction of two trails that they've been following, so we're going to put a hunter on that on our next hunt, weather permitting. That'll be tomorrow. And the trick there, we've actually set up a ladder stand up in an aspen, and we're going to have him in there watching that trail, and then one of us that's doing the guiding, we're going to get down the slope down toward the valley where the elk are heading, get down there about 50 or 60 yards where we can see really good, and bugle, do some bugling, and chances are really good that the chances of success for him tomorrow are really, really high. So we're hoping we have two hunters right now in camp. One of them's already killed a big bull. That was Dean Stovall. And then our other hunters come in 3 days. So with any luck at all, Brian, our other hunter that hasn't taken an animal, he'll be able to harvest one of these coming down out of Whiskey Lake. And we'll be in good shape. We'll be able to let the mountain rest for two or three days before the next group of hunters get in here. I think we have six coming into camp next time. It's been a lot of fun so far. And, you know, maybe next week, in next week's show, I can give you a little update. I'm sure we'll have another guest on next week, but hopefully we can give you an update, let you know how this hunt wraps up. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and I really appreciate you tuning in each week. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Rhino Steel Buildings, Margaret Holmes, and Glory Brand Seasoned Canned Goods, Hunter Supply, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, the Texas Deer Association, R&L Air Gun Supply, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Guns of Texas, and Sun Optics USA. Make sure and tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.